Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. I'm going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made over the weekend and yesterday. There are several unbelievable things. There are so many unbelievable things that I'm tired of repeating them, but this one takes the cake. Donald Trump just announced that if he is reelected president in 2024, he may pardon all of the people convicted for the January 6th insurrection. All of them. Not just people that were convicted of criminal trespass, but people who beat up cops, who almost kicked a cop to death, who squeezed a cop's head in a door so he screamed in agony, who cost a cop an eye, a finger, drove them to suicide. Trump has said he may pardon them, which means he will pardon them. Well, Trump's not going to get reelected in 2024. The commission, the special January 6th commission, is convening again today. Be sure to watch it if you can. If you can't, record it. And if you can't do that, there will be a synopsis in the evening around on MSNBC. But in any event, today they're going to focus on what Trump did to pressure state officials to fraudulently change votes. And every time I think of Trump, I'm thinking of Stalin's dictum, Stalin, the murderer of 20 million people, who said once, it does not matter who the people vote for. What matters is who counts the votes. And I think they're going to get into the Raffensperger extortion by Trump, demanding that he find 11,000 some odd votes to give Trump a victory of one, or he could be criminally prosecuted. That's a clear extortion. If they did that in the mafia, if they did that in a drug gang or a cartel, it isn't even close. The guy that made that call would be prosecuted, and Trump should be prosecuted. But I think they're also going to be getting into pressure on states like Wisconsin, the fake electors. You know, everybody naively early on thought, oh, that just occurred to a couple of guys in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Arizona and elsewhere. Just occurred to them. Bunch of fellas got together and said, hey, let's get together and call ourselves electors. Well, no, that's not what happened. What happened was that this was a coordinated, planned out, meticulously planned operation. In Wisconsin, for instance, we get 10 electoral votes. The reason we get 10 electoral votes in Wisconsin is because we have 8 congressional seats and 2 Senate seats. Every state in the union gets 2 electoral votes for their Senate seats. Wyoming has about 600,000 people, and it gets 2 Senate seats and 2 electoral votes for that. California has something like 40 million people, but it only has 2 senators and only gets 2 electoral votes for that. Every state gets at least 1 other electoral vote for a congressional seat in the House of Representatives, no matter how few people they have. Each congressional seat right now should have about 750,000 voters in it. Why is that? Because there are 435 members of the House of Representatives. Every year the population goes up, so you divide 435 into the population, and that's for each seat how many people you need to make 435 seats. Right now it's 750. Wyoming only has 600,000 people. Why do they have a congressional seat? Because every state is required to have 1 congressional seat. So Wyoming has three electoral college votes, two Senate and the one Congress. Wisconsin has 10 electoral votes, eight congressional seat, two Senate. California has about 58 electoral votes, only two Senate, but about roughly 56 or so, mid-50s, congressional seats. Well, how do you pick the 10 electors? Whoever wins, that party, in this case, the Democrats, Biden's party, has a meeting. And if you have the governor in your party, he chairs it. If you don't, you have the state Democratic Party chairman chair it, or a senior elected official. So, for instance, in the days when, say, Lee Dreyfus, early 80s, I was the party chair. Lee Dreyfus was the governor. But we had very senior people. Bill Proxmire, my very dear friend and mentor, well, he's the guy I would want chairing it, that kind of thing, you know. Well, here we had Evers. So Evers chaired it in the Capitol, in a conference room that he picked, because he's the governor. And they select the 10 electors. And what you do is, it's kind of a formality, but you pick 10 Democrats who you know will go with Biden because he won the election. There have been instances in history of the faithless electors. This happened, I think, in Colorado and Washington back in 2016 when Hillary Clinton won their votes and a couple of them wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton. It happened in 1960 with John Kennedy. A couple of them in Alabama wouldn't vote for John Kennedy, even though he took the state. If it doesn't sway the presidential election, everybody goes, ah, well, who cares? But if that ever did sway the presidential election, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that you can't be a faithless elector. You have got to vote for the person who won the state. Well, that's even after you pick your slate. In Wisconsin, the Republicans planned in advance, orchestrated by Trump, that in a handful of states, they would convene fake electors, Republicans, even though Trump didn't win the election. And then they would send in their certifications. And then Mike Pence would say, this was the plan, well, Wisconsin has two slates of electors. Pennsylvania has two slates of electors. Michigan has two slates of electors. So do Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. So, Madam Speaker, I declare that there is a confusion and a contest, and it's going to go to the House of Representatives. That's what happened in 1876 when Rutherford Hayes lost to Tilden, the Democrat. Rutherford Hayes, a Republican. But Rutherford Hayes was an Abraham Lincoln abolitionist type of Republican, and Tilden was a Southerner. And the North wasn't going to have any of that, so they just flat out said, we're going to win. And the South said, okay, in 1876, but we have one horrible bargain we want to draw. Get federal troops out of the South and stop Reconstruction. And to their shame, the Northern Republicans said, okay. The Southern troops then became the Ku Klux Klan, and they murdered black people for 100 years. Well, this time around, they were going to cite the Rutherford Hayes thing, and they're going to say, well, you know, we have two slates of electors from Wisconsin. Who are we? Who are we? Leave it to the House. The problem is, here is a tricky little sneaky thing. If it goes to the House of Representatives, you'd think, well, Nancy Pelosi has a majority, so Biden would get it. Well, no, because the law requires, the Constitution requires, that each state gets one vote. There are only 50 votes. But a majority of the states have Republican majorities in their state, in their congressional. For instance, Wyoming has three electoral votes. They're all Republicans, so they would get a vote. They would get a vote. Wisconsin, even though Biden won, has five congressmen and one senator. That is six Republicans and four Democrats. The single vote from Wisconsin would have gone to Trump. You see how sneaky this is? This is the kind of thing that happened in Germany when Hitler came into power. You know, he didn't just take over. He got a plurality of the vote. Then he said, I want to do this and I want to do that, and I'm going to use this part of the Constitution to do it. And that's what happened. Trump says now he is going to pardon these insurrectionists who beat the police, because his secondary backup scheme in the Green Bay sweep was to have violence break out, have the votes not certified that day, and then he would have said, it's going to go into the House of Representatives, or it's going to go back to the states for the legislatures to pick the electors. And the legislatures in the swing states were predominantly Republican by gerrymander, and he would have been president. You see how this happens? Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, one at a time. It's not a guy with medals and a gun showing up at your door to shoot you. It's lawyers with thin briefcases in six states. That's what happened here. So whoever you are out there, I don't care if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, if you're independent, you know, if somehow, whatever you are, a libertarian, Trump means the end of democracy. You must understand that. And it can be done in a sneaky fashion with briefcases in six states. And men with hollow eyes who are lawyers. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. If you want to break, the lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Did you ever think, when you looked at the gallows, remember the gallows that had been erected on the Capitol grounds, and they said, hang Mike Pence? You know, I was a little suspicious right from the start, because the cameras panned in. The mob had barely gotten to the Capitol after that speech by Trump and Giuliani and Don Trump Jr. and Mo Brooks and the rest of them, Steve Bannon. But I thought, how could they possibly construct one that quick? And I've said, well, they couldn't have done it that quick, but, you know, there's some good carpenters. But that was a pretty accomplished, That was a pretty accomplished gallows. Well, come to find out, January 6th Commission has unveiled this. Just after Trump sent around the message that there will be a, quote, wild rally on January 6th, long before January 6th, his supporters began on social media discussing building a gallows. Let me give you some of the points from these emails and tweets. One said, quote, a gallows could be built very quickly with the right people bringing pre-cut materials to the site. Another one, long before January 6th, said, quote, anybody got a blueprint for a standing gallows like this picture? Who's with me? Another one, long before January 6th, quote, here's a diagram discussing the timber needed to construct the gallows. Another one, posted a manual on how to tie a hangman's knot. Then there was a lengthy social media discussion among people about constructing the gallows. Then, still well before January 6th, quote, we will be building a gallows in front of the Capitol so the traitors know the stakes. And then, very ominously at the end, there were voicemails to senators saying, quote, you better get behind Donald Trump or we're going to hang you. End quote. This was weeks before January 6th. That gallows did not happen by accident. Not only that, when Donald Trump was watching this unfold on television, even though he'd promised to go up to the Capitol with the insurrectionists, but he stayed safe and sound in the White House. But it was a party. If you saw some of the video, Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend is sort of shimmying and dancing. and exulting. They were exulting at the violence, the way Putin exults at violence, because it was violence that was being perpetrated by his supporters. When they heard, hang Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, Trump said in the White House, well, maybe Pence deserves to be hanged, his own vice president. Maybe Pence deserves to be hanged. Everybody says, well, we need more evidence to prosecute Trump. Are you kidding me? Guy in the mafia or drug cartel had done all of this, he would have been indicted a year ago. How much more evidence do you need? What are you, Inspector Clouseau, the Pink Panther? The three dead bodies on the floor, you stumble over them looking for clues? What's going on here? I think what happened was, putting all this together, Trump knew that Pence might chicken out. It's not that Pence had a deep sense of morality and wouldn't do it. He wanted to do it. He called Dan Quayle to get backup, and Dan Quayle, a former vice president under George H.W. Bush, said he was out of his mind, don't do it. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Well, Matt, this comes from the oh, what a surprise category. Another reporting, Rolling Stone, is that John Eastman's going to be the fall guy for this. I told my wife this 2 weeks ago. And I'm telling you right now, Michael Cohen could have told you, right? And then Rudy will be next. Rudy, I drank the fifth. I mean, pled the fifth. It, all of these guys, they were all destined to get thrown under the bus. Now they're basically saying that he didn't even really hardly know the guy. He was hanging around the White House the whole month of December, from what I understand. And him and Giuliani cooked this all up, and I suppose you'll be saying next that I didn't know Rudy very well either. I mean,
right.
How much more do we need?
Making a good point. What kills me is how many seemingly rational, powerful men with money have so willingly gotten themselves to be the fall guys for Trump, who betrays them, who doesn't even like them. Hitler had that ability. Mussolini had that ability. Putin has that ability. For some reason, they are cowed by him. And here's an example. You take Michael Cohen, the lawyer. Michael Cohen never touched Stormy Daniels. He never was with Stormy Daniels. He never spoke to Stormy Daniels. But he went to jail over Stormy Daniels, and Trump didn't. Even though Trump was listed in the indictment of Cohen as unindicted co-conspirator one. You take something like the insurrection, Trump will turn like a dog on these people. Now he says he'll pardon them, but right afterwards, he said, I had nothing to do with that. I had nothing to do with that. They were bad men and they deserve to be prosecuted. But nobody, holds it against him? He wouldn't give Giuliani a pardon. Giuliani has licked his boots. Giuliani has his law license suspended in at least one jurisdiction for what he did for Trump, for lying in court. This is a guy, Giuliani, former mayor of New York, former U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, probably one of the most prestigious and active prosecutor offices in the federal system. He also ran for president, you may recall, when Mitt Romney got the nomination in 2012. And for about a week or two, Giuliani was number one in the polls. And yet he is subservient to Trump and risking jail for Trump. So you're right. I mean, I think that Trump... And I've got to hit something else. You've heard terms like Trump's mental state. You know, did he know it was bad? Mens rea. It's a legal term that you learn the first year in torts in law school. It's all baloney. Let me put it down in ducks and bunnies for you. Okay, let me put it down in layman talk. If you kill somebody, you can't say, well, I didn't know it was wrong. In England in 1880-something, there was a guy from Pakistan killed his wife. And his argument in court, I didn't know it was wrong. Back in Pakistan, you can kill your wife. They said, well, in Europe, you can't. And they hanged him. Okay. You can't just say, I didn't know it was wrong. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You've heard that before? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Trump can't say, I didn't know it was illegal. Now, Trump's going to say what? I genuinely thought that I won. Well, first of all, no one cares what you thought. You didn't win. And this is what you did, started the insurrection. But secondly, you were told by everybody close to you, you didn't win. And you are on record as having said, how could I lose to that guy? The third thing is you prosecute him. If he wants to argue this stuff to the jury of his peers, 12 reasonable people can decide whether he's lying or not. But you can't have an inveterate liar like Trump just saying, I didn't know it was wrong. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I don't want to hear any more about his mental state. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
UK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show is live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Join Native Roots Radio from 6 to 7 p.m. for updates about Native news, culture, and activism. The 7 o'clock hour is for local programming, including the Paul Revere Show on Mondays, Busted Pencils on Tuesdays, and the Up North Podcast on Wednesdays. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Local older adults are in need of support through caring community volunteers. Help someone get to their medical appointment or grocery store, or lend a helping hand by providing seasonal yard cleanup support in the spring and fall. Volunteer with ARIS Senior Network by calling 262-549-3348 or visit www.eras.org. That's 262-549-3348 or www.eras.org.
This is Norm from Martha Merrill Books in downtown Waukesha, 231 West Main Street. We've been in business now almost 28 years. We're the book detectives. We can find adult and children's books, even if they're out of print. If we can't find it, it's probably not available. At Martha Merrill's, we specialize in unique gifts. We sell puppets and stuffed animals, but we don't sell watches because we're timeless. We do gift wrapping. When you walk out of the store, you have a present ready. Martha Merrill Books, 231 West Main Street.
WAUK and the Shah are the new kids on the radio block, and that block happens to be on Wisconsin Ave, Waukesha. Now is a great time to advertise locally with 540 AM and the Shah 101 FM. While the ads are inexpensive and the audience is rapidly growing, sponsorships available for This Week in Waukesha, Raised in the Shah, or live local music on the weekends. Spring packages starting at just $495 a month. Get started today by emailing info at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let's go to the Wisconsin governor race. Now, let me tell you something. I thought I had seen everything, every stupid thing that a Republican could propose, but this one takes the cake. Michaels, the guy that came in sort of late in the game recently, said at a Republican event, quote, I will try to put the Foxconn deal back together. Now, wait a minute. The Foxconn deal back in, 4 years ago or so, Scott Walker, at Donald Trump's insistent, was with these people from China. They're from Taiwan, but basically they're pro-mainland commie China. Their major plant is in mainland China. And their CEO ran for president of Taiwan with a pro-China bent. In other words, that he would blend the two countries. And he signed a contract on a napkin because he knows nothing about business. Walker knows nothing about business. It gave him a real shiver down his spine to think that this is how the big boys do it. and he wrote $1 billion on a napkin, and they crossed it out and put $4.5 billion, and he went into that deal. It was the dumbest, most destructive thing that any governor has done in the history of this state. We ended up spending about $1 billion in site preparation, highways, all that kind of stuff, taking people's houses away from them for a private Chinese company, which is a violation of the Constitution. You should not take anybody's property to help another private individual. It should only be for public purposes like a road. And they simply scammed us. They said they were going to make large screen TVs. Then they sat on that for a while we spent money. And then they said they were going to make small screens for phones. Then they sat on that and they said they were going to make coffee makers. Then they did nothing. And then they said that they would just be consultants to other companies. And when other companies contacted them, they demanded that the other companies turn over all their intellectual property to them. This is a very Chinese thing, stealing intellectual property. It's happening all the time in our country right now. And we should be doing a lot more than we are. And that's a subject for another day. Then they said they were going to make electric cars. But they never did anything. They said they were going to give $100 million to the University of Wisconsin. They gave about $800,000, less than 1%, and that's it. But they gave millions to the University of Illinois. And then the University of Wisconsin hired one of the Foxconn executives. I have no idea why, whether it was inclusion, diversity, or what it was. This is wrong. Walker was a very bad, destructive governor. When Evers came in, my suggestion was sue them for breach of contract. You can't cost us $1 billion with a possible $3 billion more and go large screen, small screen, coffee maker, electric car, consultant, and not give that money back. Well, Evers did not take my advice, and he negotiated an end to the contract, which in one way was good, because we don't owe him anymore, but it cost us $80 million. They came in and picked our pockets, and this idiot Michaels is now going, I'll try to put that deal back together. That was not a deal. That was a three-card Monte game on 7th Avenue in New York, where they have shills in the crowd. There's a three-card Monte game. Is there anybody in the Republican Party who you can trust with money? Because if you dig a little deeper on what Michaels is saying, his company, the Michaels Company, did a large amount of work on the Foxconn Mount Pleasant facility. They made a lot of money. And they'll make a lot of money again if Foxconn goes through its scam again. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the lobbying group, led the lobbying efforts for Foxconn. Michaels was on the board of Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce. If you let a Republican into the governorship, tax money will disappear. And if you don't understand that, then your vote means nothing. The Republican Party, as it's presently constituted, can't be trusted with money. Some will steal it. Most won't steal it. But they will all oppose any kind of spending unless it's going to a company that supports them. You got to understand that too. They will even oppose money being spent in Wisconsin from the government if it's the federal government giving us our proportionate share of federal dollars back. We are the blue states, by and large, most of them, by and large, are contributor states. Wisconsin gives much more in federal taxes to the federal government than it gets back. Mississippi and many of the red states give much less in federal taxes than they get back. It's a transfer from many of the blue states. Are there exceptions? Yes. Florida and Texas are very prosperous and pay a lot of federal taxes, like New York and California. And there are states like small states like Rhode Island, although I have no idea. Maybe that Rhode Island gives more in than they get back. But the point is, Scott Walker turned down more than $2 billion of our federal taxes. We'd already been taxed. And it didn't go back into the Treasury. It just went to other states to give them more money. One was Medicaid. The federal government promised Medicaid enhancement money to the states. Walker said no because he was running for president, did a disastrous job. But then he increased Medicaid a little bit, but charged you your state tax dollars. So you not only didn't get your fair return on federal, and ours went to California or Minnesota, but you got double charged. And the Republicans said, that's conservatism, vote for us. Many of the southern states have ports, and they should. It's good weather for the Navy. I've been in the port in Norfolk, Virginia, Little Creek, Virginia, down Florida. That's where you don't want a port for the Navy in Milwaukee, simply because, yeah, there's the Great Lakes. You got to go through the St. Lawrence Seaway, blah, blah, blah. Texas has a space center. So does Florida. The weather is better there than it would be in Wisconsin. The one thing we got was $1 billion, a pittance compared to what other states get, to link trains from Chicago to Milwaukee, Madison, and eventually through Eau Claire into Minneapolis. It would have been 4,000 union jobs for several years with your federal tax dollars. Walker said, no, that's welfare. But Walker gave $4 billion in welfare by contract to a Chinese company. I had some expectation early on, I gotta say this, that Michaels would be more in the vein of Tommy Thompson. I mean, you can't have the Duchess of Foxconn. You can't have Rebecca Clayfish. The Duchess cannot be governor. You can't have Ramphin, for Pete's sake. You can't have Quasimodo. The guy falls out of a bell tower with widely spaced eyes and goes, make me your governor. No, it gives me the shivers. It gives me the shivers to think about it. Nicholson was a Democrat. He's a rhino. He was the head of the Young Dems. He spoke at the National Convention. He blasted Republicans. Then he realized he couldn't get nominated in the Democratic Party, so went Republican and goes, okay, vote for this rhino. So none of them, I don't trust any one of them. But Michaels, and then Michaels started to make Trump noises. I thought, well, he's making Trump noises to assuage the base. He's making sly, clever Trump noises to make them think that he's one of them. And then when he's governor, he'll actually do the right thing and he won't destroy our democracy and he won't permit the legislature, which is gerrymandered, to pick the presidential electors even when the other party wins. Now what? He says, let's get rid of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Let's give Foxconn more money so my company can make more money doing needless stuff, stupid stuff, because they don't make anything and they never will make anything. They're just a conduit to get our tax dollars. If he gets in, and I've seen his ads, you know, they're kind of mean-spirited ads. They really are. He's going to get the woke mob. Well, I got news for you. The woke mob isn't what he thinks it is. To him, the woke mob is democracy itself. And he, just so you know, wants to revive the Foxconn deal. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to Texas to the Uvalde massacre at the school down there. Something has occurred that is so abominable, it never even occurred to me that it was possible. But you know, those kids were locked in that room with the murderer for, I think it was an hour and 17 minutes, an hour and a quarter. And he's in there with an AR-15. Remember the police chief said, well, we had him go for backup. We couldn't get in the door. Then he said about an hour later, they finally thought, hey, the janitor may have a key. Now it comes out that the officers didn't even try the doorknob. It turns out that the door may very well have been unlocked to the classroom. And it turns out they had a tool to get in even if it was locked already. They didn't check to see if it was locked. Well, the police chief and the police officers testified at City Hall. And the victims' families, their chaplain, and reporters showed up. It was a public event. They were kicked out of City Hall before the police could testify. They were kicked out of City Hall. There is a cover-up going on in Uvalde. Those police officers and that chief were chicken. They didn't want to go in. They said, well, we barricaded him. Well, yeah, you barricaded him with two teachers and more than 19 kids because one of them covered herself with blood and played possum and didn't get killed. And he went around and just dismembered people with the AR-15. These are little ones. They're 10 years old. He decapitated some of them. One of them was shot so badly, the only way they identified her was by her sneakers because she liked to wear green sneakers. They didn't even push the door open. And if they're worried about the kids, shoot into the ceiling and lie on the ground, and he's going to shoot the AR-15 through the door, throw in a tear gas grenade, have one of them sniping, shoot from the ground, from the floor up, kill him. Kill him. But they were in there for an hour. In 17 minutes, he was, and they were outside chickening out. They chickened out. A grand jury should be convened. A grand jury should be convened. I think a federal grand jury, I don't trust Texas. Their attorney general, Paxson, is under indictment for fraud, and he has been for some years, and he won the last election. There is a pathological political culture in Texas. Pathological. Get an honest judge and an honest grand jury, and you submit this and bring criminal charges against that police chief for abandonment of his position and duty, leading to death of 19 little ones and two teachers. And then the husband, one of the teachers, died shortly afterwards of a broken heart. To say that they barricaded a murderer in with 19 kids and two teachers, are you kidding me? Let that go to a jury. Let the police chief explain, the head guy there, why I didn't even try the doorknob, because he was afraid he'd be shot. He's a police officer and they have bulletproof vests. So what you do is you approach it crawling on your belly like an infantryman. Push open the door. Yes, there'll be a barrage of bullets, of course. You're not in the way. You can use smoke bombs. You can use tear gas. Snipe up at the guy. The protocol for getting him is to shoot the murderer first. You don't even stop to attend somebody else who's wounded. Shoot the murderer first. And they, quote, barricaded him for an hour and 17 minutes. They chickened out. Every one of those cops should be fired. And whoever gave the orders not to try it, try the doorknob, should be criminally prosecuted. And you can see the cover-up already starting when the victim's family, the chaplain, and reporters were kicked out of City Hall, a public building, before the police were going to testify. And now you have to bring a Freedom of Information Act action to get the transcript, and they hide it and they appeal it. Maybe they won't hide it, appeal it. We'll see. If they lie and it's under oath, that's perjury. What good is a police force when they permit a murderer to be in with 19 victims, little ones, and then two teachers, other victims, and say, we've done our job? And they threw to the ground and handcuffed parents, fathers who tried to get in to save their kids. There's got to be a criminal prosecution out of that. And if the state of Texas, which is the Republicans, cover it up and say, we stand with law enforcement, we stand with honest law enforcement. We do not stand with lily-livered chickens who permitted 19 little ones to be killed. And this goes to a larger issue. It's a very sad fact. We're coming up on the 4th of July recess. Everybody in Congress wants to take a recess. Why do they want to take a recess? They want to go home on Friday at the latest. Some want to go home Thursday. And they'll stay there all the following week at least, and maybe two, so they can campaign. They shake hands at 4th of July cookouts, and they go, I'm doing a job for you. I'm doing a job for you. All of them, even the ones that voted against, for instance, hard infrastructure, will then boast how much money they got back. But here's a casualty under the radar, and I want to put it to your attention. The gun bill ain't getting passed. You thought there was a gun bill being passed? You thought there was a gun bill being passed? I mean, initially, they go, the Republicans had to check a box. You can't have 19 little ones gunned down. And the police chickening out in Texas, the Texas chickens, not the Texas Rangers, Texas chickens. And then you go, we're not going to do anything about guns. Well, they're not, but they got to look like they're going to do something about guns. They immediately say, we're not going to ban AR assault rifles. We're not going to lower it to 18. And we're not going to interfere with some emotionally disturbed 18-year-old full of hormones going in and taking revenge. No, that we're not going to interfere with. They have rights. Well, they do. They have rights to kill 19 little ones. Well, let's put it this way. They have rights. However, we will do this, 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 and this. And then they just yank two of them back. Once the tension has gone on to other stuff, they said, well, no, we're not going to get rid of the boyfriend exemption. We think a guy who just dates a girl, as long as he doesn't live with her, can have a gun, even if he tried to murder her. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? Google it. And the other one is on red flag. We don't want red flag. Okay. Well, all you did was give a little money to states to fund red flag. So let parents, fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters go into court and say, my son is mentally ill and he's threatening to kill people. Please let me take his gun while we sort this out. They won't do that either. Not only won't they do it, they won't even let you try to help states do it. So what are you left with? Money to for doors. Well, this door was unlocked and the cops chickened out. Okay. And money for a little mental health that you filibustered up till now. This is a scam. This gun bill was a scam from the start to make the Republicans look like they were doing something. And now they're lanking the plug before the July 4 vacation. This is too much. I get angry thinking about this. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.